welcome to A Cast of Ice and Fire, the Game of Thrones podcast for MovieMingler.com. We're back after a 2 years hiatus.
I know, right?
Game of Thrones is back. We're back. I'm Nick from the House Stark, and I'm joined by Frank from the House Baratheon.
Hey.
The first of his name, because there's no Baratheons.
No.
And Tate from the House Tyrell, another house that's dead.
Yeah, the last of his name.
Yeah, we both are.
There we go. Yeah,
and today we are talking about Season 8, Episode 1, and I think it's called Winterfell.
Yes.
So excited to have this show back. Quick warning to everyone in the whole wide world web, spoilers. So if you haven't seen it, turn off now because we're not going to even skate around issues. We're just going to go for it. I guess we can just start.
Why not?
Okay.
Why not?
I'll preface this by saying that before this episode aired today, I rewatched the whole series.
Mm-hmm. As
in
a, did we all.
In a very quick...
I didn't.
Oh, didn't you?
Yeah, it's dead to me.
Well, in a very... Well, ever since Lady Tyrell, Olenna died, he was like, what else is to live for?
I know, right?
Now you have to change your name so Cersei doesn't hunt you down and kill you, so you're a flower. You're a Tate flower. A bastard.
I'm a rose.
From the Reach. Anyway, before I rewatched the whole series, and it was actually really nice to watch this show, like the 7 seasons of it, in like 5-6 weeks, whatever it was for me... Because, you know, normally you watch a show, we wait a year for a new season, you wait weekly for a new episode, and we talk about it like hell because we've got a podcast here. So sometimes you can overanalyze and sometimes, you know, you can just think about it too much. But when you just watch the flow of the show, I really, really enjoyed my rewatch. I just wanted to say a few things because I've changed my tune a little bit since the last pod from 2 years ago with some characters like Dany. Mm-hmm. I found Dany incredibly consistent for the 7 years. Especially the first 6, once, because I think a lot of the frustration I had with Dany sometimes earlier was because I just wanted her to go to Westeros so bad that I was frustrated every time she wasn't going there. But now that I know she is going to go there in the future, I could just watch her progression. And I thought she was a great character. Like, I think she's really, really consistent. She's got that Targaryen fire in her, but she listens to people. Yeah, she does. Her best, not all the time, but her best blessing is that sometimes she listens to Jorah in like season 4, sometimes she listens to Tyrion, where the Mad King would just burn everyone.
Yeah.
He didn't listen to anyone by the end. So I think that's what makes her, she's a very consistent character. She's more like Julius Caesar running around conquering, and I liked her. And the other one that I really enjoyed a lot more than I have before is Sansa, because in the later seasons of Sansa, I found that I got really annoyed by her lying to Jon and stuff, but I started doing like my own headcanon and justifying it. And I think, you know, let's just quickly, I just want to do it. I just got to say it quickly. And then we'll go into the new episode, I promise. But, you know, during season 6, she lies to John, well, she doesn't tell John about Littlefinger's army of the, you know.
Knights of the Vale.
Yeah. I justified it in my head now, but before I was so angry when we were watching it. I just tell John. But now I see it as in, she knows what Littlefinger is.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to tell John about Littlefinger. She doesn't want to rely on Littlefinger because he's an asshole. We all know it. She knows it. And she doesn't want to tell John about it because I guess she might not trust, John is heroic, but he's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she might be afraid that Littlefinger could like get his grips into John, like the wrong way. I think she just wants to protect John and she doesn't want to get involved with Littlefinger.
Well,
then later on,
she doesn't trust John as well.
At first, yes, because she apologizes later. But I think mostly it's because she doesn't trust Littlefinger. Then later on, she writes a note to Littlefinger and we don't see Littlefinger again until the end of Battle of the Bastards. Mm-hmm. And my headcanon says that she never got a note back. So she never told John because she never got a note back. And then, if you look at season 5, halfway through the season, when Littlefinger gets sent back to King's Landing to talk to Cersei, his original plan is, let Stannis and Bolton's fight it out, let a feast for the crows happen, and then I'll come in with the Knights of the Vale, pick off the rest and take over Winterfell. Mm-hmm. So it's a twist on that. Sansa needed him. He didn't tell Sansa anything, because he didn't want to get there early. He wanted the Wildlings and the Boltons to kill each other, and then he'll come in and get the scraps. It wasn't exactly what he wanted to do because he didn't plan on Ramsay being an asshole cunt that made Sansa run away. But
hey, it's Game of Thrones.
It's okay. Or they say cunt all the time in the show. You know what I mean? So I actually think that Littlefinger sort of if you watch the show really close together without the big back gaps, Littlefinger about a year and a half earlier basically says what he's going to do, and then in episode 10. Sansa apologizes for not telling him at all.
Yeah.
But I don't. Some people say, and even I said, that she's like manipulating John and she's like trying to get him killed. And I said the same thing. You know, I said I was my critical nature. Like she's worse than Cersei in a way, I was saying. You know what I mean? Like, but I think I was wrong. And I think that's how I justify it now. And then after I justified that in my head, I actually really love Sansa's journey. And I loved her in today's episode. Because I'm on her side more. But we'll get to that later.
I agree with you. I like Sansa, and you see the progression of her.
Yeah, she's a great character. She's interesting.
I don't know if I agree with this.
Oh, no, that's headcanon. It's headcanon, so I can justify it.
Just let Nick get on his tangent. He always does, okay?
But it makes sense. Let him have his doesn't it make sense that Littlefinger didn't write back?
I just think it could be a case of not her not trusting John.
Well, that's what she says
and
to her.
And not trusting that Littlefinger will show up after everything that's happened, and just being more self-reliant.
But the night before the Battle of the Bastards, if she knew that Littlefinger was coming, surely she would have told him, because then that makes her unredeemable nearly. So I have to say this in my head. But if she completely lies to John, she got so many people killed.
Sansa's just slow growth.
Yeah, but she's...
So I just... I'm okay but with Littlefinger.
Sansa's very similar to Cersei.
But she's
spent a lot of time with Cersei.
We'll get into it from this episode, but when she's sitting at the... When the Lady of Winterfell is sitting at the table at the front of the episode today, when she says, "What do dragons eat?" That's exactly what Cersei would say.
Yeah, it is a Cersei-esque.
It's a Cersei comment.
She even sounded like Cersei when she said it.
Cersei's a psycho. I mean, I think Sansa's obviously... I like Sansa now,
too. I like Sansa, too, but she is the most Cersei-like character in the show.
She's trying to dig her grounds into her stake of Winterfell.
Yeah. I think the difference is I think she's smarter than Cersei.
Oh, yeah.
As even Arya says in today's episode.
Oh, and that's another one I want to say, too. I really enjoyed the Arya Sansa stuff from season 7 now, because if you... You gotta remember.
Oh, no, that's idiotic.
No.
Rewatch. It is. It's absolutely... I don't want to hear your headcanon. It's just ridiculous on the rewatch.
This is
going
to be 30 seconds and then we'll get to season 8. I just want to say this. Arya and Sansa don't sit down every Sunday night to watch Game of Thrones, so they don't know what Sansa's been doing for 7 years. Same as Arya. Last time they met each other, they didn't like each other growing up at all. Mm-hmm. So she comes in and she sees that letter... And she's like, you know, she's a bit of a psycho now, Arya, at the time. And she's got red blood. And she sees that Sansa's like the Lady of Winterfell now. She's got exactly what she wanted. Well, not exactly what she wanted, but she got a power. And she's sitting in her parents' room and all that. And I think Arya plays the game of faces with her in episode 6. And that's when they work it out. But I actually saw the tension as a continuation of them growing up. Because they don't watch Game of Thrones weekly. I was okay with it. Might not be the greatest writing ever, but I was okay with it.
I just hated the whole, you're on trial for treason. Littlefinger.
Yeah, well, that's the idea.
How do you answer to your crime?
Littlefinger, who's hiding around every corner and supposedly knows everything that's going on, didn't pick up on the fact that they were conspiring against him.
I'm okay with it.
Did they?
I'm okay with it now, but that's a different season. We're in season 8 now.
Okay, let's get on with season 8.
But overall, I thought the show was fantastic, and apart from Dawn, which I don't think is executed perfectly, and Beyond the Wall, which is a mess.
I think we can just leave Dawn.
The rest of the show is like fantastic. And that's it. That's my rewatch. I don't know if you guys want to talk about something new you learnt in 2 years.
No, I just watched some of my favourite episodes before moving.
Which episodes were some of your favourites?
Well, we know that my favourite episode is The Children, season 4, episode 10. Hard Home.
Hard Home is the best.
Which is great.
It's the best battle episode ever.
Which I love.
In my opinion.
And then most of the other stuff from season 4, episode 4 onwards. The Trial.
Episode 6.
Yep. Tyrion sitting there in the cell talking about his nephew that was simple-minded.
I can't watch
crushing the bugs.
I can't just watch highlighted episodes. I feel weird. I have to watch them.
Yeah, I watch it all in one
hand. I wanted to watch them all, but I just knew I was not going to have enough time.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's start off season 8, episode 1, Winterfell. It's very easy now to like, because normally we have to jump around like 10 different plot lines, but now, like as we saw from the opening credits, there's 3 places they go to this episode.
3.5 plot lines.
So let's talk about the credits first, I guess, because that's the first thing we see. Yeah. What do you think of the credits?
I like the credits, actually. I like how we can see that the tiles are turning over to where the White Walkers are.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually know where the White Walkers are in the credit sequence.
Yeah.
So you actually know that they're just outside of...
Last half?
Yeah, last half.
Or Hearth, whatever.
Half, yeah.
Last half.
It's half.
Household.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can see that the tiles are progressing. So when it gets to the end of the episode, when they go up there, well, you know that the White Walkers are nearby.
Yes.
It's given to you in the credit sequence. And I like how they go through the castles and you can sort of see their defences and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah, I like that too. I didn't notice that until my second viewing of the credits, like the actual trail. I didn't notice it the first time.
When they showed like that spoiler... Yeah. That leaked on TV, like in the premiere, you couldn't really see the tiles flipping over.
Yeah,
okay.
Like, it was all blurry.
It just looked different. It was blurry. But when you actually see it,
yeah,
it actually makes a lot of sense. And I really like the opening credits.
There's a couple of good articles. There's one on Vulture and I think one on The Ringer about the making of, and they speak to someone who was involved. They wanted to redo the credits a couple of years ago, but they finally got around to doing it this year. And the challenges of going inside the buildings... ended in the throne. It was really good.
It was great seeing like the crypt and all that. I really enjoyed seeing all that stuff. At first, when I heard they changed the credits, when I saw the leaked stuff, I didn't like the idea because I like consistency over 8 years. Just cover it in snow. But now when you realise that the show is so streamlined, like all the characters, apart from Cersei and Qyburn and Euron and a few others, like Theon and all that, everyone is basically going to Winterfell or at Winterfell, that you don't need to have you know, Marines show up and Braavos and all that stuff. Yeah. So it makes sense. You know,
and with only two locations, the credits would be a lot shorter. So we need
to so they did all that stuff. So I liked it. I thought it was cool. Yeah. And it's cool, like you said, next week you're probably going to see the White Walkers closer to Winterfell.
Yeah.
And then Battle of Winterfell episode 3, you're probably going to see them at Winterfell.
Well, they said today where Tormund says, you know, can we beat them to Winterfell?
We said yes.
So
the preview for next week shows you them lining up for the battle. So that looks like how the episode's going to end.
Yeah. Because, well, supposedly episode 3 is going to be just the battle.
The longest battle of all time.
Yeah.
Which I want to talk about at one stage because I don't like the idea of that. Because I don't think the battle episodes are as exciting as other people think. Like, I think they're spectacular visually for television, but I think for the most part, I don't watch Game of Thrones for the battles. So the idea of a 6-episode season having 70-minute battle in the middle is like...
Well, there are two battle episodes, aren't there?
Or maybe Sopochnik does episode 5, and that might be at King's Landing.
Yeah.
Because episode 6 might be more of an epilogue. Probably, maybe. Yeah. Like, sort of like the last 40 minutes of Return of the King, but for 80 minutes.
Yeah.
Because it's a whole show they're summing up. And it ends with Sam, tell you my friend John, and the Song of Ice and Fire.
Closing a book.
And then it shows John sitting on the ice throne as the Night King with blue eyes.
I remember that Nick theory.
Yeah, it was a Nick
theory. Nick theory that John has a
Night. I don't think that's going to happen anymore.
No, don't worry, actually. I won't
discuss
it. I agree with you on that.
But I like the idea. And no ghosts, too. We haven't seen ghosts in season 7.
There is no ghost.
I'm sick and tired of no ghosts.
Did we not see ghosts once in season 7?
No. We saw Nymeria.
He's away for so long.
Nymeria, and she was building up on a... She was building a posse of direwolves, basically.
Yeah, well, just wolves.
Which I think... Nymeria and Ghost will show up at some point.
It's not you, is what Aya says to her.
Which echoes episode 1.
Yeah.
Oh, not episode 1, but season 1.
Echoes episode 1.
Oh, well, that's the first note. Well, where do we start? Do we just start at Winterfell because it's the biggest area?
At the start of the episode. Let's do that.
So we'll just start at Winterfell because that's where the bulk happened.
Mm-hmm.
So we start at Winterfell. What happened at Winterfell? Basically, John and Danny show up. He bent the knee. There's lots of tension. Sansa tension. Arya and John tension. Sam and Danny tension. We get a lot of characters who haven't seen each other for a long time mm-hmm. meeting up again, like Tyrion and Sansa and mm-hmm. John and Bran, or maybe Bran and John and Arya and all this stuff. So it's very easy to talk about it this year more than other years because there's lots of things that happen at Winterfell. But it's also focused with one through line, like, you know, and Gendry and Arya and the Hound as well meet up.
Mm-hmm.
So, Blanket, what do you think of Winterfell stuff, which is basically the episode?
Well, the show opens up, it echoes the pilot episode, down to the music, when in the first episode, King Robert and Queen Cersei and their procession arrive at Winterfell and Ned says...
You're fat.
No, but he says, you know, the castle's yours.
The music wasn't exactly the same, but it was echoed there.
Yeah, I think it was Bran climbed the tower to watch the procession come in. In this case, apparently it was Ned Umber.
Ned Umber.
A boy.
But Arya is
climbing for a better view, and we see the procession.
And Arya gives the kid a little smile, because she's like, oh, I understand how that feels. I did that as a kid.
And then Arya gives Gendry a little smile, like, I want you in bed.
I don't think so, but...
Well, I actually think that's a big possibility, because something happened with Arya at the end of last year. During last year, where she was, you know, she was trained to be a psycho killer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no one. She comes back, she feeds Frey his kids in a pie. She's basically a psycho. She comes back, nearly kills her sister, but then she realizes...
She killed the entire Frey, all the Frey men.
In a really violent way. Yeah. And then she comes back and she nearly kills her sister, and then she kind of remembers that she's a Stark. And now she, you know, in this episode, she tells Jon, I'm on Sansa's side.
Remember who you are.
Yeah. So you can actually see that. Remember, last year during the pods and all that, I was really afraid that they were wrecking Arya's character by making it too much like dark and no one mm-hmm. and a psycho. But now it looks like the real Arya is back. But now she's all cool and killing, like she can fight. So I think there's actually possibility.
She wants Gendry to make her a weapon.
I think there's a possibility that her and Gendry end up together.
No,
I really do think, because I think Gendry, there's a good possibility that he ends up a Baratheon by the end. It might die, they might not, but I'm just saying there's a good possibility that Gendry Baratheon marries Arya Stark, or at least they get to sleep with each other at one stage. I think there's a possibility. Those looks that Arya gave Gendry were like, I want you in bed looks. They were. So that's why I wanted to mention that.
Okay. Anyway, back to the show.
Well, that was Arya that stood the show. Cool.
Okay.
So what else?
The fact that I cried when Arya and Jon met up. Finally.
Did you?
After season 1. Oh, yeah. There was tears in my eye. I was so happy when they met up.
But they were always the closest.
They were the closest, and I felt it.
Of the kids.
And it felt good.
But Sansa and Jon don't even have a scene together.
And Arya shows Jon Needle.
Yeah, you still got it.
And he shows her his Valyrian still.
Long claw.
And she says, about do you have any Valyrian steel for me? But she's actually got the Valyrian blade.
Yeah. The Littlefinger blade, which is going to do something major by the end.
Yeah.
It's been there since the beginning.
Well, that's what she gave to Gendry. The drawing she gave, so the drawing that she wants.
Yeah, I didn't notice what the drawing was.
The drawing is a, looks like it's a pull-apart dagger or something, or two-sided dagger. Like one side's going to have...
like a bow staff, and the other's like got a concealed dagger.
One side's going to be a Valyrian blade, and the other side's going to be...
Is it a Valyrian blade, or is it going to be...
No, Valyrian, and the other side's going to be dragon glass. So it's going to be dragon glass on one side, Valyrian steel on the other, which both kills White Walkers.
Mm-hmm. And we know that so she's good with a dagger, and then she did a lot of training in Braavos with a bow.
Yeah.
With a bow staff, so... She's going to be like...
She's going to make a big
impact. She's going to be like... She's going to be like Rey from Star Wars.
I'm still not sure about the Gendry and Aya.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Oh, there was definitely flirtation there.
I think they're just friends.
Oh, I think there's no friends. They were talking about their... You're talking about how beautiful she looks now.
Yeah, Arya's so cold to everyone. She's not cold to Gendry.
No, there's something there. And I think that considering every Baratheon is dead...
Yeah,
all the bastards are dead. I think there's a good chance that Gendry gets the name at the end of the show. I think that's why he might survive the show. Yeah. And Arya, if she's going to bone anyone, it's going to be Gendry. But she ain't boning anyone else. Who else? No one. She wants to kill everyone else. I love that too, that moment. But while we're talking about Arya, I love that moment where the Hound and her meet up. You're a cold-hearted bitch, aren't you? That's why you survived.
Probably why you survived.
That was great.
But we obviously had the bit where they're in the main meeting hall.
That was great too.
And Lyanna gets up.
Lady Mormont
gives her speech. That was very good.
I was completely on Sansa's side there. Like, I'm completely on Sansa's side now because I rewatched the whole show recently, obviously. Mm-hmm. And in season 7 finale, after the dragon dies, Dany says to Jon, "I will fight with you in the north with my two dragons. I'm going to not stop until the Night King is dead. I promise you."
Yeah.
And then right after, Jon says, "See, he's already got that army. He's got him."
Yeah.
Right after, he goes, "I'll bend the knee." And when Sansa faces him and says, "Did you bend the knee to help us, or did you bend the knee because you're in love?"
Yeah,
he bent the knee because he's in love because he already had the army.
Yeah,
and so when she's angry at him and everyone else is angry at him, I'm like, "Yeah, John, they voted for you. They made you king of the goddamn North, and you completely bent the knee. 2 seconds, you saw this foreign blonde woman.
I'm gonna do her
because I think that's why it's really, really important that she offers to help him before he bends the knee.
Yeah."
And that's John. What I realised in this rewatch is that I love John. John is the most heroic character in the show by a mile. Mm-hmm. But he does stupid things sometimes. Mm-hmm. But it's always based on how good natured he is. Think about this. Battle of the Bastards. He doesn't listen to Sansa and he runs out because he's a good man. But then he makes a massive mistake. You know, when he runs out and opens up the... And then you've got the same with when they go beyond the wall. Instead of getting on that dragon, he's so heroic naturally that he jumps onto the lake and he gets a dragon killed nearly. Or not nearly. He gets a dragon killed. So every mistake he makes is based on how heroic he is. Yeah. And even when he makes a mistake of bending the knee, because I think that's a mistake, really, to bend the knee to Dany. I think it is. But she already gave him everything.
Yeah.
And the North wanted him to be king. He did it out of a good nature because he's in love, not out of some scheming nature. So every mistake he makes is from like a really noble place. Mm-hmm. But I was on Sansa's side completely because Sansa understands the game a little bit more than him. Yeah. Like she's spent time with Cersei, she's spent time with Littlefinger, and she knows that
she knows the policy.
You can't just give things up like this.
She's had the best education.
And I really
She's had a lot of powerful people, political people who know the game that well.
Well, she says it. Younger and more immature and more naive. She said, "I used to think you were the smartest man in the world."
That was a great
moment. And now she can see.
Season 6, she goes, "I'm a slow learner, but I still learn."
Yeah,
and she says you obviously.
I'm a Sansa fanboy now. I've changed. I've really liked her progression.
You were on board Sansa season at the end of season 4 when she's got the black dress and she's like, she's going to be powerful now. She's like going to use her body to manipulate, and then it goes nowhere. And you're like, Sansa.
Then she gets thrown off. She marries Bolton, and she gets destroyed again. And I was angry at the time, but I see the arc now, and I think it's fine. I think it's worked out fine.
I think we'll be all right.
I mean, the show's not... This isn't some happy fairy tale either. Bad things happen to people. Yeah. But yeah, I love that moment with Tyrion as well.
Yeah.
And I was so... Sansa was like nearly my favourite thing about this episode. I just liked her.
My favourite thing about this episode is that the politics is actually back in the show and it hasn't gone.
Last year, during the podcast when we were talking about it, I said that Cersei has to die by the end of the season because we've got the big end game coming. Six episodes against the Night Walkers. So who cares about Cersei? Like, why do we need Cersei? She's pointless now. She's by herself. But I'm glad I was wrong. Now in season 8, we don't just have some battle season. Mm-hmm. We've still got the manipulation, like the moment where Cersei...
Well, the wheel's still spinning. The wheel hasn't been broken.
Qyburn says, the White Walkers the dead have walked through the wall. And she goes, good. She's got a plan.
Yeah.
And I like that because I think the show without that would just be beyond the wall for six episodes.
It's just going to be a battle, isn't it?
We don't want that. I don't think you want that, because that's the reason why the show works so well is the political scheming.
Yeah, and that allows the character development as well, and that's what the show needs. Or that's what makes the show so great. Oh,
Cersei is hands down the best villain in the show by a mile. The Night King is boring. I mean, he's cool looking, but Cersei is so good that I'm so glad.
Deeper.
I'm so glad she's still around.
Yeah, we haven't seen any depth
because she's the ultimate villain in this show. At the end of the day, she is. Don't worry about the Night King. She's the ultimate villain. We don't know that. No, but she is.
No, the show could end and it could very well be Daenerys as the ultimate.
Yeah, but I think they got to play their cards right there. I think that could happen, but they got to play their cards right there.
Yeah. We don't know.
Because if you switch it and it doesn't work, it could be just a rushed ending that doesn't work. Because she's, when you rewatch the show, she's really inspirational.
Who?
Daenerys.
Not always.
Danny.
No, you said before about her listening to her advisors. Sometimes. She doesn't listen to Barristan Selmy when she crucifies all the masters.
Sometimes.
I know. Sometimes. But when she crucifies 163 masters, whatever it is, she doesn't listen to the advisors when she burns
the Tarleys,
Dickon and Randall, which got a mention later in the episode. Sometimes. We don't know.
Sometimes. I think she's really inspiring sometimes when she's got that Targaryen fire in her, which you need. People are right. She tries to do things peacefully sometimes and people stab her in the back. If you try to do it peacefully the whole time and tell Cersei before you tell her that you're going to tell everyone about your bastard kids in season one, then Cersei's going to stab you in the back because she knows how to play the game.
We know there's three really, really big moments in this show. We've had two.
Oh, the door.
The door and Shireen being burned. There's meant to be one more huge one that...
Oh, I reckon I know what that might be.
We don't know what it is, but it could be a Daenerys... To borrow a wrestling term, a Daenerys Hill
term.
Can
I bring it up now?
Yeah, bring it up now if you think you know.
So they talk about the prince that is promised,
mm-hmm.
and Lightbringer. But at the end of this show,
mm-hmm.
obviously the Night King is sending a message with the kid pinned on the wall.
Ned Umber
is dead on the wall, and there's a
sounds like a song, spell. Doesn't it? Sounds like a rock song.
And we see that in the episode with the children.
We see multiple episodes with that spiral.
So episode one, too.
Yeah, and it's with the horse. But they do it with the horse parts.
Why is the Night King actually marching down south?
We don't. There's Norway's flood. According to the actor who plays the Night King has said, but when you've watched it, you'll realise why. There's a specific reason why he is.
And this was brought up on a pod from, and I'm going to pull up the name, so bear with me. This is a podcast by Buzz Talks. And he said that the reason why the Night King is marching south is that the Prince of the Promise is actually the heir for the Night King to collect. I reckon the Night King is actually after the son of Daenerys and Jon.
We haven't got enough time for Daenerys and Jon to get pregnant. Child. We really don't.
There's also talk that the Night King is specifically going down to the God's Eye. Which, if you've read the books, or
I don't know about that.
I mean, I don't know about that either because I think that's not enough time. We don't have enough theory of going to the God's Eye because there's talk there's children of the forest living in the God's Eye.
We've only got five episodes.
I don't
know
if you know what the God's Eye is. Just read up on it if you don't. But
because I've heard all, there's lots of different
theories. There is apparently a specific purpose, and we will find out what that specific purpose. He does have a target in mind, but as to what it is,
I think he's looking for an heir.
Mate, well, John, Night King, I've said it for years.
Imagine if that was right. Imagine if it was right and we had to cover him grovel to Nick.
I don't think that's the case anymore. But I wouldn't mind it if they do it right. I'm happy with anything.
But it could be the son. Because Danny's already lost a child to Khal Drogo.
But the problem is that we've only got five episodes left. There's not enough time for her to get pregnant.
Unless that final episode jumps ahead. But we're expecting the Night King would have been either defeated or victorious by the final episode of the show.
Yes, there's just
and unless
time.
It's like in 3 years, like, you know, a final episode that's set in the future.
But that would mean that the Night Walkers win and then we have to see episode six and it's still winter, which I don't think that's...
I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't know. Nah, I don't know.
You have,
I
mean, to listen, I'll have to listen to the pod to get the full theory.
Anything's possible.
Yeah, there's all sorts of theories.
As long as it works, that's all I care about.
So what else happened at Winterfell?
I thought this episode was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was basically a ticking time bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was just tension building the whole time. The last 10 minutes of the episode, from when Sam talks to Daenerys and mm-hmm. she tells her about killing his brother and his father,
mm-hmm.
I just felt the tension was already building with Sansa's reaction to Dany and everyone else's reaction to Dany and him bending the knee. You know, the North Lords not liking Dany there.
Mm-hmm.
The tension was building and I thought something was about to explode.
Yeah.
And I really loved it. Because honest to God, I thought there was a possibility... It probably wouldn't have worked, but I thought there was a possibility while watching for the first time that Dany died by the end of this episode. I thought someone might burst and just kill her.
No.
And I'll tell you why I was thinking when I was watching it. I don't think that would have been the right way to do it. It would have been anticlimactic when you look back. But the reason why at the time, when you're in the show's you know, vision. You're watching the show and you're engulfed. We see John riding the dragon. Mm-hmm. So now, we don't need Danny anymore. He can ride the dragon. We know he's fire and ice without her. Yes. I mean, it could be fire and ice where they're married. And that's a great, you know, beautiful fantasy, fire and ice. But he literally is fire and ice when you talk about Lyanna Stark and Rhaegar. Yeah. He's also fire and ice in the sense that, you know, he's a Stark blood. He's from the North. He's a Northman. And if you listen to George R. R. Martin talk about, I listened to him talk about it in an interview once, where he talks about how they reanimated for the dead army are reanimated by ice, mm-hmm. and the people who were brought back by the Lord of Light are reanimated by fire. So he's literally fire and ice there too. Like, he's reanimated by fire. Mm-hmm. So it could be like a twist, like a red herring. Like, we think they're the fire and ice together, but she dies and he is the king and everything. So when I was watching this episode, I honestly thought, holy shit, like, it felt like a ticking time bomb waiting to happen. I thought someone might just jump out of nowhere and just stab Danny. I just thought it could happen. Yeah. And now it didn't happen. And I looked back later and I thought, well, if that did happen, it would have been a shock at the time, but then I would have been annoyed because that's just not the way it should happen. Because we're too deep now into Danny for her just to get killed straight away like that without playing a bigger part. Mm-hmm. But honest to God, I thought this episode was amazing with the tension build because you can tell something is about to explode. And then Jamie shows up. Mm-hmm. And then Jamie shows up and then he sees Bran and you're like, oh shit, yeah, he pushed Bran out of a window in episode one. You forget this.
Bran said he's waiting for an old friend to show up.
Which I think is Jamie.
Yeah, it is. He says, I'm waiting for an old friend.
But then I think he's just there to forgive Jamie. So Jamie
Bran doesn't care about it. But he's not Bran anymore. Yeah. So Jamie's obviously got a big part to play, maybe. But then you see next week.
Bran does have a big part.
But then you've got more tension next week coming because now you see that, you know, Jamie's going to be on trial basically. Bloody Daenerys probably wants to kill him.
I don't know. Tyrion won't want to kill him, though. I don't know.
Well, it looks like, don't they, in the scene?
Yeah, but
in the trailer?
Look at the way they cut the scenes for next week. There's every chance she'll say, you know, you killed my father, but she does recognise that her father was a bad man.
True.
She does say when she's with Yara, and she says, you know, our father were evil men. We want to make the world a better place. There's every chance that's been edited a certain way, and then she says, you know, I dreamed of ways to kill you. I dreamed of ways of killing you when I was... Oh, I heard stories about how to kill you. And then she says, but I understand.
I agree. I say yes to that. The only fight I'll have to that is this episode was so built around tension with everyone and Danny that I feel like that's the boring way to tell the story. Because then you can get... she might not kill Jamie. She might not kill Jamie. She won't kill Jamie. But there might be genuine tension that she might do something.
Bronn a crossbow.
And that's not going
to
go anywhere.
I'm saying, yeah, it has to go somewhere.
We'll talk about that later.
I imagine we'll go with Tyrion, yeah. But, in King's Landing. But Jamie, I don't think, he might die in episode 3 in the battle. But I don't think.
No, Jamie's going to kill Cersei.
Or.
It feels right.
There's lots of theories that Arya could do it with a Jamie mask. Nah, we don't know.
That's a cop out because Arya doesn't have the connection to Cersei.
Yeah. Well, she was on the list.
Yeah, no, but they don't have the connection. She's so
anyway, separate. We haven't even covered... we haven't really spoken about Samwell finding out his dad's dead.
It's a great scene.
It is a really
and
good
John
scene.
Bradley has never been better acting-wise.
He was fantastic.
He was so good there.
As someone who's not a big Samwell fan...
How can he not be so likeable? He's not the most interesting character in the world, but he's nice.
A humble bear.
Yeah.
Actually, he's the only likeable person with John. He's less of an idiot than John.
That's true.
I love John.
But that scene was... Yeah, he was so well acted, wasn't it?
Oh. I read the book... When the fourth season started, that's when I read the first book. And when you read the first book, it is so obvious that John is not Ned's kid. Like, it's so obvious. Like, it's clearly, he's clearly a kid of Rhaegar and Rhaegar. Clearly a kid of Rhaegar. You don't know that they're legitimate marriage, but you know that he's not Ned's bastard. So I remember reading that, and I think about the people from the 90s even worse than me, the people who read it in 95.
The theories existed.
But I think about reading that because it's obvious. In the show, they made it less obvious.
Yeah.
But in the book, it's obvious. And I just thought about that scene where when Sam finally tells John, I thought, I can't believe I'm watching this scene exists. Like, it was actually really an amazing moment. I only read it 6 years ago, 5 years ago. I'm imagining people from 25 years waiting for this moment where John finds out. Talk about a ticking time bomb. John is noble and bends the knee. Danny will never bend the goddamn knee.
So when she tells Samwell that the father was executed and that the brother was executed, and then he asks leave to mourn.
Yeah.
Right? When you look at the look on her face, you can start seeing that maybe she's having second thoughts about the way she's behaved. That's where it's really well acted by her. Right? Because I'm not as positive on Daenerys as you clearly are.
Right? Khaleesi Breaker change.
A big proponent of the fact that she will be a mad queen. Right? But you do see the look on her face when she sees how Samwell's affected that maybe she has been going in the wrong direction. So maybe we will see something different.
But we see that throughout the whole series. She always looks back and realizes she's gone too far sometimes. She has done that throughout the show.
Yeah.
She's got that in her.
Not always.
She's got that in her. But I think with John, John is a great leader, like on the troops. Like he's a great inspiring leader and he's heroic. But Dany's arguably would be a better queen than him king because she knows how to make tougher decisions than him. Sometimes she goes too far, but at least she listens to Jorah and Tyrion sometimes. She does. She's got very smart men around her too, like John. Oh, not John, like Tyrion.
But is Tyrion that smart?
I think he is. But Sansa, you know.
Well, I think we've seen in the last... Down. We see in season 7 that
he gets
outsmarted by every Cersei. At every corner. Oh, and Jaime.
Yeah, when he went for Casterly Rock. But to be fair, he didn't know Casterly Rock was, like, got no gold and pointless. Like, but, because do you think if their gold was there, do you think Cersei would just let Casterly Rock go that easily? No.
No, of course not.
So he doesn't know that. So that's just because Cersei knows more because Tywin told her. But Tywin hated Tyrion and never would have told him anything about that.
But so
he's human.
Samwell leaves and then goes talks to Jon, and that's the scene you're talking
that's
about.
That's a great scene. Yeah. Well, and Lyanna's in the background. Yeah. There was a woman, so I thought it was Lyanna.
It is Lyanna, yeah.
That's ticking time bomb. This whole episode was so tense that when it cut to black, I swore out loud going, fuck.
And then when
I can't wait to when Dany finds out, because that's, if you talk about Mad Queen, that's the moment. She'll never bend the knee. Never.
That's what it's setting up for, isn't it?
Because if you look back, you sit back and you look at this whole thing, John is the very he's Aragorn. He's a very traditional heroic character in these sort of fantasies. You know, Aragorn didn't want to be king, but he does his duty at the end. He has to do it. John is the same. He doesn't want to be king, but he's probably going to have to do it by the end. Mm-hmm. Dany, on the other hand, and he's humble,
mm-hmm.
and he comes from nothing originally, like at first. That's what you think. So he's like building his way up and he's earning trust without having the name. Where Dany, on the other hand, everything's built on her name. She believes her hype like no tomorrow. Yeah. We know it, all the titles. So this is a great subversion when you think about storytelling-wise. The fact that we've watched her for 7 years and 7 books at the time, you know, build up, build up, build up, and then to like pull the rug from under her and see her reaction is just great storytelling. Yeah. And there's no way her reaction is bend the knee. So John might be like, let's just work together. So I don't know, because I can't see John wanting to push himself as king anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going to happen.
But it's all based on the fact that she believes herself so rightful heir.
She even says last year, the reason why I got through everything is because I believed in myself. Yeah,
but she believes herself to be the rightful heir. If she finds that she's not the rightful heir,
it'll shatter her.
Yeah.
That's great storytelling. I cannot wait to see it. I hope we see it next week, but who knows? It might happen after.
Yeah,
like, who knows? But that is just
great. It could happen after the battle.
And that's why this episode was so good. It wasn't just... it had a great pace to it. After season 7 was a bit of a mess trying to get everyone together, like, you know, cutting plot lines off, and it was, you know, by the time you get to season 7, episode 5, it's just 3 episodes in one. It's just, it needed to be spread out more, but it was just such a mess. It was crumbling under the weight. But now you see everyone's together, mm-hmm. and there's a focus to the storyline, and this episode just promised so much for the future. Yeah. Like, it's just promises, holy shit.
Jon Snow's going to be sitting in his room, and he's going to be
shit's going to hit the fan.
Dany, Auntie Dany, what did you say?
Well,
nothing.
We see with when Samwell tells Jon
bend the knee,
that Daenerys executed his father and brother, and you can see the look on Jon's face. Maybe he's having some doubts about.
Oh, you talk Sam, Jon Bradley.
When Sam tells, Samwell, but even, tells Jon,
this might end. Like if she doesn't want to bend the knee, say, mm-hmm. and she does snap a bit, this might end with everyone against her.
Yeah.
Like, it really
could
happen.
That's the point when I get to about villain.
But that's kind of that tension that's created in Winterfell. Anyway, when she's walking through the streets, everybody's watching her.
No one wants her there. The North don't want her there. They don't care about her dragon stuff. They don't want her there, the North. The North want to have their own kingdom. They're like Texas in the old days, aren't they?
They have a history with Targaryens anyway.
Well, they bend the knee when Aegon came.
Yeah, but... when the Mad King burned...
Yeah,
so there is that history.
Oh yeah,
Targaryens.
Like he's come back with a Targaryen after the his granddad was burnt and the heir was burnt.
Yeah,
there's a tension bubbling. It's so exciting. My favorite. I've watched all the show really close together. My favorite first episode of the whole show, like first episode of a season, before this was season 4, episode 1.
Mm-hmm.
Like I really, and there's a lot of good episodes. Episode 1's really good. Episode 5, season 1 is episode 1 of season 5 is really good. But I thought this was the best. Yeah. Just because you get all these characters meeting for the first time. It's really focused. A lot of the times in early seasons could be
there was no
a mess.
Fat on this episode.
But it's focused.
They've only got the two locations. Exposition.
Which is so good for the storytelling. Like the momentum is so... It wasn't fast-paced like Eastwatch, but it had a good pace to it. By the time you sit back and think about all the stuff that happened, there was a lot of characters happening.
You're not hitting...
Dawn for a second. And,
Plus King, like I mean, I guess we're in King's Landing and Winterfell, but you're not hitting the Wall and the Riverlands, and you're not hitting Essos. It's all done. It's all focused, so they can spend 40 minutes at Winterfell.
this episode had a momentum in a way that the show's never nearly had before. Like, sometimes it has some finales where it really pushes forward. But for a first episode of a season, mm-hmm. this episode really had a momentum that I've never seen in the show before at the beginning of a season.
Well, it's great because you've got seven main players in Winterfell. You've got two main Cersei's players, Cersei and Master
Qyburn
over in.
Mm. He's more of a side character, though. But yeah. he is a big player, I guess.
Then you've got.
More to come from him.
What's his name? Euron.
Oh, he's here in King's Landing.
And then you got Bronn.
And Strickland, who's the new main character.
Well, should
the
we go? Do you have anything character. Else for Winterfell for now, or should we just go to King's Landing? We can always go back anyway. There's no real strictness. We can always go back.
No, he covered it.
It was great.
John and Arya's reunion, Sansa and Tyrion, the meeting hall.
Yeah, it's great. It was great. Yeah. It was a highlight of the show.
Didn't get a lot from Jorah, but that's all right.
He'd probably have a lot of battling. He might not survive episode 3.
I don't think
he might be dumb.
We didn't have Brienne either. She didn't make that appearance.
She wasn't walking around at one stage?
I didn't know.
Maybe she didn't. I can't remember.
Oh, fuck.
Well, at King's Landing, Cersei continues to plot. She has a plan. Qyburn is helping with her with a plan. Euron sleeps with her. Mm-hmm. She doesn't get her elephants. And she sets up Bronn to kill Jaime and Tyrion with a crossbow and interrupts his, you know, sex time.
And they mention Ed Sheeran's character.
Do they? Really?
He's the one that they talk about his eyelids were burnt off. That's the boy with the red hair. The ginger with the red hair. His eyelids were burnt off.
I didn't put that together.
How does he sleep?
I'm pretty sure that's Ed Sheeran's character.
So what did you think about the King's Landing stuff? I mean, it's less to talk about. I was actually scared but I thought she was going to kill Euron at one stage now that she had the Golden Company. I really thought Euron might die.
No, I don't think she will. She's actually...
A lonely?
No, I don't think it's that. I think when Euron starts behaving all arrogantly and...
She's turned on by it.
She is, yeah.
But she's aroused by it.
But I think she knows that... So just as Robert served as a good cover for her children with Jaime, Euron could be the same with his new child.
Well,
assuming she actually is pregnant because she was drinking wine, even though you would assume they did not. But in the final episode of season 7, when she says no to the wine, that's when Tyrion says, oh, you're pregnant.
Oh. Yeah.
And she touches her belly.
Yeah, you know,
I watched it today.
She says no to the wine. Tyrion says, oh, you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Whereas today she was drinking wine.
But I still think she's pregnant. She still has sort of
all the talk about that prophecy, then that's out the window, isn't it?
Well, she's had with the prophet because they created
miscarriage.
They already created a kid for the show when she said she had the boy with black hair in season 1.
And
so they already went and the prophecy's from the books.
For all we know, could be Gendry.
Hey, that's actually not cool. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be interesting? But that would be really interesting. It could be legitimate.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
Actually, I don't mind that twist. I don't know how you bring it up.
Yeah.
Because now if John becomes king, he can just say, oh, you're Baratheon because you have no one else with your blood.
Yeah.
So you don't need... But that's actually cool. I like that. But I don't think... We're not going to see her pregnant. It doesn't matter. If she's lying or not, we're not going to see it.
Yeah.
That just brings up the fact that I just want to reassert the fact that in the season 7 finale last year on the podcast, I mentioned that I think Tyrion and Cersei made a plan together.
Mm-hmm.
When you see him on the battlefield at Eastwatch, that episode Eastwatch after the battle, you see him looking at the Lannisters burning and it affects him. And then he comes up with that idea to bring the bloody dead to King's Landing because he wants a truce.
The loot train.
Yeah, the episode after.
Yeah,
you see him, the episode after Eastwatch, the beginning, he's looking around the battlefield and it's got him.
Yeah.
And
when they're playing Reigns of Castamere.
And he cares about his family. Like, he cares about the Lannister. Even though he doesn't like his sister and stuff, he cares about the legacy of the Lannister. I really do think he still does. And I seriously think that it's not because he hates Dany or something, but I seriously think he made some sort of plan with Cersei where he thinks that I'll just do it now and then I'll work it out later. But I'm just going to do this now. I don't know what it is, but I have a feeling that they were... Because she goes, you're pregnant. He goes, you're pregnant, aren't you? And it cuts away.
And then, what plan do you think he made?
I have no idea, but the way he's looking at Dany and John after him, it's like he knows that he's betrayed Dany. That's why I had a theory that Dany might end up killing Tyrion when she finds out, but I don't know yet now. I don't know.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised to see Bronn kill. After what we saw today, I think we do see.
Well, I'll say something.
Or he refuses to.
Well, that's the most likely thing, because I feel like if Bronn ends up killing Jaime, and especially if he ends up killing Tyrion, you destroy the character for every rewatch.
Whereas I think...
He's so likable that you destroy him. If you kill Tyrion, you're always hating him.
The show's always been about subverting expectations.
Yeah, no, but I don't like it. I think we'll hurt his character on rewatches. Well, that arsehole's going to kill you anyway. I just don't like it. I see him putting the crossbow down.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe he's about to do it and then someone kills him.
Maybe
Ollie comes back.
Martin always
talks about... I don't think he'll do anything with the crossbow. I think he's just going to... Reunite with Jaime.
They definitely set up a scene.
Martin talks about subverting the traditional
yeah, but
ways of fantasy. if we have Theon save his sister and be redeemed, and we have Bronn choose not to kill her and forego money, then it's just playing into all those tropes.
True,
but so where is that subversion? It's got to come from somewhere.
Yeah, true, but you have to be careful now because Bronn is such a likable character that I do think it's going to hurt him on rewatch.
But they don't
really
care about that. It's about
but I want to rewatch it.
Yeah, but they're talking about telling the story. It's not about.
I can't see Bronn doing
it. It's not about rewatchability.
I can't see Bronn doing it. I just can't. But maybe he will. I don't know. I'll be on the edge of my seat when you never know with this show. This five episodes left.
Yeah.
I just can't see it happening. It just.
I must admit, I do partly agree with you, but I just think when you know what you know, that they're going to, they're not looking for happy endings.
Well, George R. Martin, I saw an interview that's very recent where they were asking about the ending of his books when he writes them and the ending of the show, and they said he was talking about how it's gone off in different directions because of little changes here and there, but he basically implied in that interview, well, not even implied, he basically said it, that their main ending is the same. Like, this is not going to be a completely different ending, too. So, the ending of the major characters will be the same as the book.
Although, I mean, he will reserve the right to change
stuff. But he said...
Which I think he will. But if they're never going to get finished.
But I think,
let's be honest,
the way the episode 6 ends, if Danny's alive, if John's alive, whoever's king, whoever's queen, if Tyrion's alive by Bronn, killed by Bronn, those big characters, I think, will be the same as the book. Because he told them. Unless he wants to change them, I guess. But mostly the really big ones, like John and Danny's ending, whatever the ending is, and the reason why the Night King's there is going to be exactly the same as in the book. He basically implied he's seen the ending, and I saw an interview, it was on 60 Minutes, like really recently, and they asked him, how different is it going to be? And he said the big strokes of what they've done is the same.
Yeah.
So we are going to get a subverted ending probably, because he's always said it's a bittersweet ending.
Yeah.
So, but I don't want, you've got to be careful. Because early on, killing Ned is exciting because he's the main character and it's season one. Killing Rob, because he's a traditional son that takes up arms and dies, that's exciting. But now you've got to be careful because if you kill someone in such a crazy way now, you just feel like, well, what's the build up for? Like, it's too deep now. Like, you can still have big dramatic moments, but it's too deep now you know what I mean? You can't play every game now because then you look
but
back and you go, what
as
what's
a game?
Years?
Is it a game?
Like
game.
A story.
It's telling us,
But you're like, but then you look back and you go, well, that's anticlimactic. It's like if Danny dies...
It's not
dies,
necessarily supposed to have happy endings.
I know, but you got to be careful or you can hurt the show on rewatch. Seriously, that's important.
It's not about watching it's about watching it as one whole.
True. Oh, yeah. So. We'll see how it goes. We'll find out in 5 weeks.
We will.
Or last thing...
What else happened?
Well, the last thing at King's Landing is Theon saved Yara and then he didn't want to go back to the Iron Islands. He wants to go and sacrifice himself at the Battle of Winterfell, basically.
He's finally come to terms and accepts... The Starks.
So
he's like the importance of the Starks.
Well, he can do as much as he wants of saving his sister and all that, but he has to basically sacrifice himself to help the Starks.
What's the words of John, isn't it? That you're Stark and you're Greyjoy.
Yeah.
It's John says it.
But for him to truly be redeemed in the eyes of us watching it, he can't just save his sister. He has to. He's probably going to I think he's going to die saving someone very important from the Starks, probably.
In
the Battle of Winterfell, probably, too. And that's great. Because I like Theon. I think he's like, at the beginning, he's like, he does some bad things, but you can always understand why he does those bad things. Even though he does bad things, he's such a well-written character.
Yeah.
And then later
on... he does the bad thing at Winterfell, but he's pressured into it.
Yeah, with
and
his
that
dad
expectation
and
of his, because the family.
His position was so hard. He was given up by his father and he's not anything.
Yeah, so you can understand.
So is Tyrion going to make a unique joke as well when Theon gets to Winterfell, like he did with Varys?
Maybe. But probably not.
No.
But yeah, anyway, I'm just happy that Theon's going to Winterfell because it just feels right. But I didn't expect Yara to be saved so quickly.
But all these characters are uniting back at Winterfell anyway. So it's good to see. This is getting the closure because it starts off where season one starts off and now it's finishing where season one starts off.
Or at least the beginning of the finish.
It is.
And this makes it very interesting because everyone is together basically at Winterfell or heading to Winterfell, except for a few others on another mission, that... King's Landing is so empty. Like, it was very interesting to see Cersei. Cersei's basically killed everyone, and everyone who's not dead, she's pushed away. When you see
she's kind of rolling over the ashes.
When you see the throne room, there's no one in there. There's Qyburn, there's her Queen's Guard, there's the Hulk Mountain, and then there's like no one else there. Except, she's talking to Euron. Like, it's such an empty place now. Like, she's driven everyone away and murdered everyone else.
And she has
Cersei's,
a very dwindling
she's
small
Michael
army
Corleone
too.
At the end of The Godfather 2, nearly.
Which is,
she has no,
which is kind of what the ending I...
No epiphany has happened
that
yet.
She's going to have at the end of season 6. That I think her ending is best is where she doesn't die, but she's so detached from everything that she's just got nothing left.
The difference between her and Michael Corleone, though, is that Michael Corleone was a good person at one stage. Cersei's always been a hateful bitch.
Yeah.
Like, she's been bad from the beginning. We get the story of her when she's like 7 years old, pinching Tyrion's penis, talking about how I hope he dies. That's my favourite scene of the whole show.
She was occasionally nice to Sansa.
Occasionally. Very occasionally.
And she does say, she does talk
she loves
about,
her children.
She says to Sansa, don't love anyone except for your children. So the more people you love, the more...
Even she's kind of a hypocrite. But she's kind of a hypocrite as well because she drives Tommen to kill himself.
Hmm.
You know, she murders everyone and then she has no interest in Tommen caring about Margaery. No interest. So she's a bitch.
Yeah.
She's a great villain. Lena Headey hasn't won an Emmy yet or a Golden Globe or anything. And like, that just seems so wrong. Like, she's amazing in the show. I hope she wins it for the ending. I don't know. I just hope she wins it just for like a retrospective 8 years because she's been amazing. I don't know.
You see some of the acting go back to the first season. She's sitting down with Robert characters and they're drinking together.
My favourite scene of season one is that.
It's fantastic.
Why do we do it?
Like, was there ever a chance? Our no.
What are we doing this for? Our marriage?
Yeah. it's great. And it gives her, because apparently in the book, she's much more of just, she is one way. Mm-hmm. Where in the show, they tried their best to make her more rounded, but now she is just one way.
Yeah.
But you have to. Where her character is now, she can't have anything else. She's driven everyone away. The man who loves her the most in this world was driven away.
Yeah.
Jaime. And there was a genuine question at the end of season 7 that she would kill him. I remember that. That moment was so tense. But I thought, she's going to fucking do it. But she didn't kill any of her brothers.
No.
She had a chance to kill both. And that's going to bite her in the butt because she's going to probably get killed by one of her brothers.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what her overall plan is. I wonder if it's got anything to do with Qyburn reanimating the mountain, if they're going to do their own sort of dead thing. I wonder what they've got some plan and I hope it's clever.
Well, we still have to see the Hound versus the Mountain, don't we? That's supposedly going to happen.
Yeah, episode 5.
There'll be a game bowl.
Yeah.
I think that's it for King's Landing then. So in the last place, unless you can think of something, I can't think of anything else. We can always circle back anyway. There's no structure. Yeah. The last place is last half, even though I call it Hearth.
Yeah,
so half. We'll see what happens. Maybe it's my northern accent because I'm a House Stark and you're a Baratheon.
Yeah, that's exactly.
So it could be the way I would say. I say it the right way. Like, I say Arya, not Arya.
I don't say.
Yeah, Sansa can't say it right either.
Well, yeah.
That's why she might not be a true Stark. It's last half. But anyway, last half, we get there and we get a nice little horror sequence, and we also get the wildling and, you know, Tormund, the greatest wildling ever, meet up with Ed. So we get the Night's Watch them meeting up, and then we get a nice little horror sequence that basically foreshadows.
Beric's there.
If it basically, with his flaming sword, it basically foreshadows. The dead are really close to Winterfell. Mm-hmm. It also foreshadows that on the way... Well, not foreshadows, it also tells how on the way to Winterfell they're basically killing people and then taking them as an army.
Yeah.
Like, that place was empty. Yeah. So they've obviously taken all the Umbers. Remember, there was like 2,000 there or something they said at the beginning that weren't coming?
2,000, and they wanted to see...
There was thousands of them, at least.
Yeah, they needed horses, they needed wagons to collect their 2,000 men. Yeah.
So we know that they're part of the dead army now. So it gives us a little exposition, and then we get a really cool ending to the sequence where he attacks, I think... I don't know who he takes. He takes someone and then they burn him with a sword, and it was great. Looked really good visually.
Yeah, Ned. So that was Ned on the wall.
That was Ned Umber.
Yeah, but I can't remember who he attacked. That's what I'm trying to say. He attacked someone and then they stab him.
But I think that's a message that the Night King's actually after a child.
Because Tormund's there and you see the eyes open up behind him.
That's why I believe that the Night King is actually marching down south. It's that he's looking for an heir. He's looking for a child.
Yeah, but we don't know that. I mean, he could also be Little Sam because Little Sam was meant to be a Night Walker.
Meant to be an offering.
Yeah, he was meant to be one of them.
Little Sam was meant to be an offering. That is a theory out there.
I've heard of
that
before.
He's aiming for.
But I don't think so
Little
either.
Little Sam, because that's the offering he was promised.
I honestly think. I don't know exactly all the little details, but I honestly think I've said it before that we're going to find out that this White Walker army is basically Noah's flood. There was so much hate and murder and crap going on
in
the land. This is like a cleansing where they're going to clean it up and it's going to start again. It's going to all start again like Noah's flood. And it's happened 1,000 years ago and it's going to happen again. It's like a god, like the ice god saying, you know, my children are all fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. So it's like a biblical event. And it's interesting too, in the first season, there's a moment where in like episode 2 where Jorah tells Dany about the Dothraki myth about the dead grass.
When it overtakes
the world. How it's going to take over the world, which is basically another version of Noah's Flood and another version of the Night Walkers.
Yeah, ghost grass.
So it's,
I think it's ghost grass.
So it's sort of like, you know, Noah, you know, in Australia, in the world, the Noah's Flood is part of a lot of different religions. Like, it's part of a lot of different, it's been adopted over time by a lot of different stories. Like, it wasn't originally Noah.
Yeah.
It was so I think it could be the same thing here.
As a concept of purification.
Yeah, but it's also cleansing, like, and other cultures in their religions and stuff have told the story a different way.
Yeah.
Like the history of humanity. And we know George R. Martin's not, he's an atheist, first of all, but more importantly, he's really fascinated with the idea of religion in cultures. Like, you just have to watch this show mm-hmm. and all the different religions. Like, he's fascinated with that stuff. So I think it could be that.
It's not a bad idea.
And it could be just to stop Dany and her dragons. Maybe she is a mad queen. Mm-hmm. Maybe she does snap. Because when the dragons go around Karth in episode season 2, the warlocks want to keep the dragons because their powers are coming back thanks to the dragons.
Yeah, dragons bring sort of
magic to the world.
Whether they bring magic to the world or they represent magic returning.
But they reckon it got stronger.
They're intrinsically tied to magic.
So like, you could say that when the dragons finally come to Westeros, that's when the army finally breaks the war. And maybe it's maybe because Dany is... The ice has to stop her, the fire, like because maybe she's about to do something crazy. So the in a way, the White Walkers and the Whites are actually the good guys by the end.
Mm.
Like Dany.
Which would mean Dany would Dany be the ultimate villain.
Dany turns evil. Dany turns evil. John becomes the next Night King and kills her as a Night King.
Nah, John's Prince of Darkness, wasn't he? Doesn't he have to kill Dany with a flaming sword?
Well, that's what we're going to see. I
don't think he is the Prince of
Darkness. No, I think he is. I think he is. Because if he's not now, it's a cop-out, nearly.
There has to be because a reason he was resurrected.
By the fire.
If the show ends and no explanation was given as to why he was brought back from the dead...
That's bad.
Then it's poor storytelling. It's just a cheap plot device to bring him back. There has to be a reason why he was brought back.
I already see it in my head. I already see Daenerys being Nissa Nissa.
To give the Night King a son.
I see Daenerys being Nissa Nissa and Jon stabbing her with the sword and she lets him. And he pulls out the fire. There's no way that this season doesn't have Jon pulling out a flaming sword.
We didn't see Melisandre.
Oh, she's going to come to die. She has to. She says so in season 7.
And Varys too.
And Varys is going to die, yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe not at the same time.
No, they might die.
Because you don't invest that much time into the whole...
She's been such a huge side character.
Well, it's the only god that's done anything.
You don't invest that much time into the Lord of Light storyline
without
it going somewhere. Now, there's too many loose ends to tie up all over the show, right? There's going to be little bits and pieces we're never going to know
about,
right?
But the big piece is the
there's one
sense.
Bit where I think it's season 4, could be, where Arya says, what's west of Westeros? We're never going to find that out. Those sorts of things we're never going to find out. This Lord of Light thing has to go somewhere.
Oh, no question. And it will.
We will see Melisandre.
There's no way that Jon won't pull out a flaming sword. Daenerys isn't going to pull out a flaming sword. She never fights.
Yeah.
She doesn't fight like that. Jon is the true hero of this story. We know.
Oh, 100%.
It's so obvious because he's Aragorn. He's Aragorn.
But you see it when you watch it in one hit. You see the way...
Oh, you see his progression. There's no question about it.
I know what you're saying about Daenerys. You don't get that progression from Daenerys.
Dany is... A different sort of character.
Like you said yourself, she's consistent.
Oh, right? She's an interesting character, but she's not consistent.
She doesn't have any progression or growth.
John is. I mean, we all know George R. Martin, and every person who writes fantasy loves Lord of the Rings. And John's a little bit different, but they're very similar. They refuse the core, the hero's journey. He refuses his destiny. He's probably, you know.
Yeah.
Aragorn does, and John is probably going to do the same thing now. Like, he's the ultimate hero.
Mm.
And it's nearly a cop-out. But it's also beautifully poetic. Like, the bastard ends up being the most powerful creature or character. And he does it before he knows his destiny. Mm-hmm. Unlike Dany, he does it when he's just the bastard. Yeah, I can't wait to see what happens next. That's the worst part about it now, waiting weekly.
We'll just see in 5 weeks' time.
We'll know it all.
The show will be done.
And then we'll have to get ready for the long night TV show, whatever it's going to be called. And it's going to have... You want me to say my theory right now before we do it? It's a little theory. Okay, nothing major. Yeah, it's actually just... Naomi Watts was cast in that show. Yep. We all know, like, ages ago.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a feeling the reason why she was cast so early is I think there is a good chance that when Bran has a vision at some stage this year, we see Naomi Watts. Like, just like, oh...
Nah.
No. Like, he's going to have visions this year. Mm-hmm. And he's going to have visions of him putting up the wall properly as Bran the Builder. I just have this... And that's at the end of the new show.
Yeah.
The end of the new show will be Bran the Builder putting up the wall. It's that era.
Yeah.
I just have a feeling, and it's not like she's going to talk, but I have this feeling that Naomi Watts got cast so early because they're going to put her in there, like in the background.
Up.
Well, yeah, just in the background. And then we go, how cool is that? I think it's going to, I don't know. I have no idea.
It's a long way from being made, though.
Well, it's next year, isn't it? They started production early. They wrote the script ages ago. They wrote 5 pilots, and the best one got chosen, but there's a good chance, if this one's successful too, it should be, they'll make more than one at a time. It'll be like Deep Space Nine and Voyager at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Voyager was I like Voyager, so whatever. Deep Space Nine, I can't get into. All right. Still now.
Look at all the Voyager VHSs on the back wall here.
Oh, I like Voyager.
Drifting.
Okay, Star Trek is a great show. Okay, maybe we should do...
Maybe you could do a Star Trek podcast then.
It's like 600 episodes to talk about. I've got like all of them on Blu-ray that you can get. You can't get Voyager on Blu-ray yet. Please make it, Paramount. They got to redo the effects.
All right. Okay. So back on Game of Thrones.
You know, that's it, nearly in it, unless you're thinking about... I mean, overall...
Where do you think the show goes next week, based on the previews?
I think tension builds. I couldn't even begin to tell you if it snaps.
But there might be a fight between...
And it's going to end with them getting ready to have the battle.
So do you think the whole episode spent in Winterfell?
Or there'll be probably a little bit of King's Landing, catch up.
There might be a bit more at King's Landing. And we'll there'll probably be Euron sailing still.
You can think of. Where else are they going to go?
Everything has to be Winterfell now.
A bit of a Bran and Jaime interaction.
I'm sure you'll see obviously. Cersei for a scene or two.
Yeah.
And then that's it. And you'll see like Theon get there, and you'll see the tension with Jaime.
Because there's no one else down in Winterfell. Jaime, like said, there's Bronn.
Jaime and Bronn Tyrion starts, reuniting as
Bronn
well.
Bronn starts making his way north.
Yeah, but you won't see his journey. Bronn will just show up.
He's just going to rock up.
As a surprise. He's hiding behind a wall or something.
Or you see an arrow go through like Tyrion's head.
As Tyrion meets up, he's talking to Jaime, and just next minute, an arrow straight through his head.
It would be pretty much... And see, episode 3's all at Winterfell as well.
Yeah, well, that's a big battle.
So we're spending a lot of time this season at Winterfell.
Oh, talk about theories. The one thing I noticed, I already had this theory before the season started, but now you can definitely tell that I was right in this when it comes to the marketing, is that clearly the trailer only shows you episode 1, 2, and a bit of 3, like a little bit of 3. Yeah. There's nothing post
4, 5, 6. Half.
Because it's so they clearly have something.
Especially
they've clearly got something up their sleeve.
Do you think...
Something big's going to happen.
The living are defeated at Winterfell.
I think they die. Oh, not all die, but I think they lose there.
Yeah, so which means that all those Winterfell scenes had to be done before the end of episode 3.
Yeah, they're not showing you what happens next. Yeah. And it could be Daddy.
Well, the scene with Sansa looking over and the dragons flying over, that's in the first few minutes of the episode.
When you watch the trailer, I remember saying to my sister and other people, like Matt, I talk on the phone, Matt, friend of the podcast, I always talk about Game of Thrones with, I'm like, I think this is only the first 3 episodes.
Yeah, it is, I think, yeah.
And you could just...
We forgot one other location.
What happened?
The waterfall.
Oh, we forgot about the...
Yeah.
I did mention quickly that.
For a reason. Well, it was just so cringe.
It actually reminded me of Attack of the Clones.
It's so cringe-worthy.
Even riding the dragons was a bit cringe-worthy as well.
No, I liked it. I liked him riding the dragons because you get to see John riding the dragons.
It's good to see John, and it's a good way to introduce him riding
good
the dragons.
Good effects, too, for a TV show.
That's what I'll say. They're just showing off their effects now.
Yeah, but it's great. It's pretty amazing that a TV show can do that.
And the scenery is beautiful as well.
It's probably the only down point in the actual episode.
The Daenerys John.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't mind.
I don't buy their
because the show.
I don't sense any chemistry between them.
Maybe.
There's no chemistry between them. And
that's probably true. That's probably true overall.
And there's not a knock on the actors. It's just...
It maybe the writing there. A little bit. Yeah. Some, like last season.
Just not there.
Now, John and Yigvet.
Like when John bends the knee, bends the knee, all I say, what the hell are you doing? Like, not like, oh yes, I love her too. Like, I understand falling in love with Emilia Clarke. Okay. Especially if she can ride a freaking dragon. Like, I can understand that. But like, this is, John should be smarter than that.
John, you're better than that.
But honestly, I don't, in a show that's very realistic the whole time, like, it's very grounded. The show's very grounded medieval-wise. No, it is. For a high fantasy, it's very grounded.
Dragons and the magic.
Yeah. When we're getting into the bigger sweeping mythical fantasy stuff, I actually don't mind the corny... I don't mind it. But I think it's going to fall. I think this is a setup of it's about to get really dark, so here's a happy moment together.
No, I get it. I said it's just really, like I said, cringy.
But it's okay. I guess if you watch Attack of the Clones as much as me, everything's better than Attack of the Clones love story, so I'm okay with it. I don't mind
setting the bar pretty low.
What I do in the bathroom for 10 minutes at 10 a.m. in the morning is better than the last
story. I don't think they're the best actors in the world, Kit Harington and Emilia Clarke. I mean, they're not horrible, but they're not the best in the world, but they're very likable. So I just find it fine. They're very good looking and they're very likable and had good effects.
Look, so I was just, okay.
They're
going to
make some beautiful children.
Doesn't it?
I mean, you don't feel the fire of a romance. And I don't know if the show probably wants you to feel that, but then that's also their fault for rushing season 7 in a way. Like, if you spent more time with them. I don't cringe. I'm actually kind of romantic at heart. Like, I'm reading The Dark Tower 4 now, and it's like this big romance between Susan and Roland when he's like 16 years old. And I'm reading all these people online talking about, oh, they hate that over-the-top romance because it's very Shakespearean big and they kiss each other and it's so corny. And I love it.
Yeah.
Like, my heart melts for it. I love romantic stuff. I really do. Yeah, that was. I didn't mind that scene. But I understand. If you look at like where the show started off with, like season 1, episode 1 and 2 and all that, and then you go, well, one day we're going to get that scene, it feels like a completely different world.
Yeah.
But I don't mind it because now we're in the fantasy world. The dragons are back, the magic's there, and they're very much epic characters. And, you know, I don't mind it.
Mm.
I mean, is it any worse than... Like, honestly, is it any worse than Aragorn and Liv Tyler? I can't think of her name right now. Like, because that's kind of corny too. It's the same sort of thing. Beautiful backgrounds, waterfall, they're kissing. There's a bit of Lord of the Rings in this now.
You're seeing a lot of Lord of the Rings in it.
Well, Lord of the Rings. Every fantasy that's happened since is basically taken from Lord of the Rings.
Why not take it from the best?
Is there anything else from the episode? Overall, I give it 100 out of 5.
Nick gives it 100 out of 5. I'm more realistic. I'll give it a 4.75 out of 5. It loses the 0.25 for the dragon moment.
I guess if you compare it to the...
Show. 4.5. I don't like giving perfection.
Whatever. It doesn't really matter what we say. The show is a 5 out of 5 show.
It is a 5 out of 5 show.
Yeah, right? It is.
It's had a couple of low points, but it's just a great ride.
The low points happen because the standards are so high. I mean, this show... Especially the first 4 seasons. But even, I like season 5. I like all of them. The first 4 seasons are so strong.
Yeah.
But like, the standard is so strong. It's like, you could probably never keep it at that level. Because it's not quite there anymore, maybe, like, consistently. Nah. But holy shit, I thought it was the best first episode of the whole show. Now, I don't know of the season, like, of a season for the whole series. Like, the first, best episode 1. But it might be because I don't know what happens next, so the tension works. In rewatch, it might be not, it won't be as exciting in rewatch because I'll know the ending. But I just thought it was riveting. And I was scared. Going into this season, I was genuinely scared that they would fuck it up. Like, honest to God. Because season 7 had some moments where you go, oh.
And even season 7 had it. Even season 6. Yeah. We spoke about this off pod.
Well, season 5 and season 6,
I think, has 3 of the best episodes of all time. Battle of the Bastards, the final episode of the season, and The Door. But it also has a couple of episodes that are pretty mediocre. And I think season 7, for sure, had a couple of absolutely terrible episodes.
Oh, Beyond the War is not good. Not very good. But I forgive it now, whatever.
Eastwatch
is just too fast. It's got a lot of entertaining moments, it's just too fast, needs to be spread out. But overall,
doesn't have the consistency, but the highs are still very high.
And we know that they're going to knock it. I just think
6 episodes is just so short, especially when you look at the running times for the next.
But you believe in the Battle of Winterfell, they're probably going to knock off a lot of people anyway. There's enough people there.
Everyone's there. So, like, yes, there's less episodes, but there's more time to spend with everyone because they're all focused in the same area.
Of course.
Because this episode was fast paced. Like, it was just an introduction, but it was really, really efficient in getting around the place.
It was. Scenes were short, weren't they?
But it was good. That's
effective, like, storytelling.
It was really good. I thought they got the pacing right.
Storytelling.
If the pacing sticks like this, and then we get some big moments, I think it'll be fine. 6 hours is a long. I mean, 6 hours. It's like 7 hours of story time. Yeah. We got longer than the Star Wars trilogy next.
It was 54 minutes.
So they did the story in 6 hours. I think they can do it. This episode. I wish there was more time overall, but this episode showed that I really thought that they... 5 minutes in, I was like, whew, thank God. It doesn't suck. And it's actually kind of awesome. Like, I loved it. I really loved it. I was riveted. The last 10 minutes, like I've said already, I was antsy. I was so tense. I couldn't wait for all these moments to happen. I was so tense.
When I saw you last...
100 out of 5.
After
100 out of 5.
After watching Alita, you were very down on Game of Thrones.
Oh, because season 7... We've had some moments that just...
You were very
scared
down on the
me.
Show.
It scared me.
But on the rewatch, you've regained that appreciation.
I think season 7, apart from a few little... Like that episode 6, I think season 7 is pretty good. It's a bit rushed and like 5, but it's pretty good. Like, it's a good show still. At its best, it's great.
Yeah.
And I think this... I think we know that they can do it now. 1 episode into season 8, I'm pretty comfortable that they're going to knock it out of the park. And unlike a lot of other people, they get their knickers in a twist when it comes to fantasy movies and stuff. If my theories are wrong, I don't cry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like to guess, but if I'm wrong, I'm like, whoa, yeah, okay. But some people, I mean, you see some people's reactions to some things where they're like, they don't get it right. And they're like, my childhood's been raped because Luke is not, you know, raised on Skywalker. Fuck, I was raped.
Yeah, all right.
George, Jar Jar, raped. I'm just paying out those idiots.
Yeah.
They really annoy me. I spend a lot of time on the internet and they annoy me. You can't write anything on Twitter now. You're right. The Last Jedi was good. Put it on Twitter. 5 minutes later, you're a fucking idiot. La, la, la. Fuck you. Probably going to be the same with Game of Thrones ending too. There will be people that hate. No matter what they do, they'll hate it.
Oh, no matter what, there's always people who hate.
But I won't. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
That is true. There is. You like most things.
Because even when they're not good, even if it doesn't work as much as I wanted it to work, I like to work with the material, mm-hmm. with something I love. Like Beyond the War, I watch it now. I've seen it 5 times that episode, which is a lot of times, really, for a TV show. For me, I don't really watch TV shows much. And it's still not great, but I'm working with it. I'm massaging. I just massage it. Like, I still shake my head when the dragon dies. Like, really? This is how you're going to kill a dragon with this stupid plot? But I massage it. And I just go...
when he stands there holding
the sphere thing.
The sphere. As if it was a javelin thrower.
I zoned out. What the hell are you massaging?
Oh, I massage the plot, so I'm like...
He's massaging the plot, so if he doesn't like the plot...
I try to work
still,
with it.
He works with it.
Well, you saw my headcanon.
Until he creates headcanon.
My headcanon is Sansa. Now I love Sansa. Anyway, that's it for this
episode. Isn't that how people get into smoking? I'm just going to stick with this until I love it.
No, but when I love something, some people just get disappointed and they give up on something. But once I'm so ingrained in this world now that I would be shattered if I hated the ending. But I won't hate it. Like, I won't hate it. It might be disappointing, but maybe, but I'll never hate it because I'll
you might not be happy with the ending, but it's not your story to tell.
That's it. So that's another thing. Yeah. That's another thing that people get wrong. They think they own the media that they watch. People think they own Star Wars.
They're too possessive of it.
You don't own it. You're not the storyteller. And thank God you're not the storyteller when you hear some of these people's ideas.
All right, we should wrap it up. We're going off course.
Yeah, Star Wars. We want to talk. I think Frank said it when the podcast was off. He was making a bet how long it would be till we talk about Star Wars. Well, I talk about
it. He brings it up in everything we do.
Well, this is a Star Wars year. The end of the Skywalker saga.
Well, the end of Game of Thrones and the end of the Skywalker saga in the same
There's no reason to live after this.
2019.
2020 is pointless. The Cassie Nandor show.
The Mandalorian.
Well, yeah, that's November 13th.
I think we're drifting now.
I can't wait for that show. We'll see how it's good.
We'll wait for a cast of Mandalorians. We'll discuss that
after the next 5 weeks.
Hey, it's got Pedro Pascal. He's the star.
Yeah, and you can do a podcast on it.
Oh, we probably will. November 13th. We'll do a podcast. We'll do a podcast on The Mandalorian. Probably not every episode, but I'll do a podcast with someone.
Yeah.
Talk about Star Wars.
Okay.
Because it's Mandalorian. It's going to be awesome. Anyway, that's it. Join us next week for... Do you know... Anyone know what episode 2 is?
No, I don't think it's got... It's TBA.
So it's going to be called The Death of Daenerys, but they can't show it yet. So, okay. Daenerys snaps. Episode 2.
Arya falls in love.
Do you think anyone dies next week?
Maybe.
A major.
I think the tension is building, so I wouldn't be shocked if it happens. Well, I would be shocked if it happens, I guess.
Grey Worm and Miss Sundry? They didn't get to...
Well, they're not...
We don't like colored people up north.
We saw him in the previews.
Well, she kisses. She kisses...
He'll make the battle. Then it'll be wipe them all out.
Oh, yeah. Shit's going to hit the fan at the end of that battle. Like, a lot of characters are gone after that battle. Yeah. I just hope they kill the right ones.
You can predict that next week.
Just kill so anyway, that was it. That was season 8, episode 1 of Game of Thrones, Winterfell. Called Winterfell. Perfect name, because I don't think we've ever spent as much time in Winterfell except since episode 1 of season 1.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait to next week. God, I love this show. I really do. I was wrong before when I was anti it for a little bit. Only for a little bit. And that's it. So thanks, Tate of the House. Well, no, you're not the House. Tate Flower.
Tate Flower. Yep.
And get you have to be a bastard as well, maybe.
Need Tyrell.
I mean, what is the bastards of the Stormlands? Are they Storm?
Storm.
So your house is dead.
And Storm.
Yeah. I got to choose Stark, so I win. You can change if you want. I guess. My sister had Bolton, but they're dead.
Martell, but they're no longer around.
Well, they're gone too, because the show doesn't care about Dawn.
So after they
Chris comes back on. He's still got his Targaryen bloodline.
We got the two best ones.
Alarion might make an appearance.
Yeah, she's in the steel cells.
She might still be in that cell.
We might see the skeleton of the daughter.
I might go marry a Greyjoy or something.
Good luck with that.
Marry Yara and become, you know. Put a prince in her. Oh, they don't do it like that. They have the king's boot over there, so they don't really do it by the blood. And that's it. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next week with a review of episode 2 of season 8.
Possibly the same people.
A cast of ice and fire going to Thrones. Ciao.
Bye.